Okay, we have something a little bit different in store for you this morning. As a pastoral staff, it's a great privilege for us to be able to be regular teachers and preachers for this church body on Sundays. But I'm sure it must get boring seeing the same guys do their thing week after week. So we were having a conversation, Randall and I, a few months ago, and he suggested that we try a new idea of inviting five different speakers to speak on a topic for 5 minutes on a Sunday morning. And so we are, for the second time this morning, going to give that a go. And I think, based on what we experienced in the first service, you're going to be blessed by what you hear this morning. And so these five individuals have agreed to speak on the topic of a name of God. So each of them are going to have chosen a name of God that has been meaningful in their own life. They're going to give you a little bit of a teach of what the meaning of that name is, and give you some observation of how they've seen God reveal himself that way in their own life, in their own world. So let me introduce to you our five speakers this morning, and then we're going to let them get to work. First of all, on my right, your left, is Becky Heyer, who is married to Randall, and she is a mom to Olivia and Gwen, and she is also a longtime Cochranite, has been in the past. I could tell you all kinds of stories about Becky, but I will stick to the script. She likes black coffee and fashion and interior design, and she, like her husband, is passionate about having people encounter God and experience the Holy Spirit in their life. Next to her is Rianne Schutzley. Rianne is in a mild depression this morning because just over a week ago, she was on the beach in Thailand where she was doing a justice semester working with an organization that works with exploited women and children. And now she has to be here for like spring snowstorms. So you can pray for her. Although she's wearing shoes and I'm not used to seeing Rianne in shoes. So maybe there's something happening. You got transformed in Thailand. Rianne is a graduate of Prairie Bible College in 2017 in their Music and Worship Arts Diploma Program. She's an accomplished musician and recording artist, and I know that she's going to want to, and she has lots to share beyond what she has this morning to tell you about her experience in Southeast Asia. Behind her is Colleen Lee. Colleen's also a wife to Judd and has two kids, Micah and Grace. Colleen is a person who loves the outdoors and has been involved in outdoor education and wilderness travel throughout her life. And she is trying to take a bunch of women to South Africa to experience the outdoors. If you want to know more about that, Colleen would love to talk to you after the service. We have one rose among the thorns this morning. And that is Simon Ongam. Simon comes to us from Uganda. He also is a dad to Isabella and a father of three. He works as an accountant to some companies in, or to a company in the mountains, as well as his own practice. And you're going to hear a little bit more about Simon's background this morning. Last but not least is Sandra Scruton. Sandra wrote in her little intro notes to me that she has been married to Wayne for 44 years, which I think she's looking great for 44 years of marriage. Sandra was born and raised in Quebec. She is a fluent French speaker, and one of the things she's also passionate about is music. She's an accomplished pianist and has been teaching piano since 1985. So all of these people know Jesus, are experiencing him in their lives, and we're excited this morning to hear from their perspective just who God is. I want to invite you, I know like sometimes, you know, we don't clap for sermons, which is great, but I would love it if you would give each of these speakers encouragement after they share. We're not clapping for them, but it's a way of just acknowledging that what they've said is meaningful and useful to us. So please do clap when they're finished, and after I pray for them here, they're going to go one after another. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is our purpose each week to understand and know you better and to experience you as well. And so I want to pray for each of our friends who are getting to know you better and have experienced you over, most of them over the entire course of their entire life. And I just pray as they paint a picture of your character and person this morning, that it would inspire us and challenge us to grow. And so we invite you here, Holy Spirit, to speak through your servants. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you welcome our 5 for 5 this morning?
Good morning. I'm honored to get to be up here and just share with you guys this morning. And I'm excited to briefly talk about just a part of who God is that I'm just really passionate about. So, Lord. Referring to God as Lord is often overlooked. It's often avoided. And I believe this comes from the nature of the word. Lord, a person who has authority, control, or power over others, a master, chief, or ruler. As someone who grew up in the church, the word Lord or the name Lord was never one that I really thought about. It was just another word that we used to talk to God. I think that others often think of the word Lord in a negative light, not wanting to feel controlled, not wanting another being, not wanting any other person to have power over them. Just over 10 years ago, I was living in Montana at the time, and I was talking to a dear friend of mine just about our journey with God and how we were doing with our walk with the Lord, and she just looked at me and she was just like, Becky, it's obvious to me that you love God, but is he the Lord of your life? Truthfully, never had thought about it before, and this took me on a journey from that point forward where I was like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean to have God as Lord of my life? Just before Randall and I got married, this journey continued. And God just brought me to a passage of scripture that just really set the tone for us, for me specifically, but also as a couple in our marriage. In James chapter 4, verses 13, 14, and 15, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town, spend a year there, doing business and making money. Yet you, what is your life? You do not even know what tomorrow will bring. For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that." That is the phrase that began a journey with Randall and I and the Lord, of what our life for the last 10 years has looked like. For 5 years, Randall and I served on staff with Youth with a Mission in Montana. During this time, we completely lived on financial support. We were not able to work a part-time job as well as serving full-time on staff. When we were coming back from Thailand, I will never forget, one of our trips for 2 months leading a team, we came back into the United States, which for us was home. And my entire team went through customs, and they went to get their bags, and I got sent to a back room. First, they handed me a big red card that meant we has to go talk to these people in the back. So I got red carded, is how they referred to me, and I got sent to the back. I sat there waiting, super nervous, had no idea what was going to happen. All I wanted to do was go home. And so then I sat there and I just said, God, what are we doing? What is this going to look like? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Give me words. I don't know what you're using this for, but we're on a journey together, so let's do this. I eventually got called forward and got spoken to by the official. He asked me lots of questions about what I did, about how I paid for everything, about just what are you doing? He finally just looked at me and he said, why would you ever do something where you don't make money and you don't get to further your education? I remember taking a deep breath and I was like, okay, God, here we go. And I just looked at him and I said, well, I believe in God. I believe that he speaks to me, and I believe that this is what he asked me to do. I remember that leaving that conversation so grateful that he let me back in the country. didn't have to call mom and dad to come back to Canada. I remember having a smile on my face, not because it felt good, but because I finally experienced something with the Lord that I was like, this is what it's like to give you the authority. People don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, but you said do it, therefore we're doing it. Getting to this place in my life of just giving God complete lordship has been a process, a journey, and definitely one that I'm still on. And I believe and want to invite you this morning to ask God if he has lordship in your life. Is maybe there's a specific area that he is highlighting to you this morning that you don't want to give him control. You'd rather hold on to that yourself. Truly looking to God as Lord of our lives first comes from a place of asking him to give us revelation of how much he loves us. From there, we're able to trust him. Only from that place are we truly able to trust him. And I believe from there we are able to start speaking and doing the things that he asks us to do, giving him complete lordship of our lives. It's not the easiest way to do life. But I believe and have experienced when we do life with the Lord, it's more rewarding, it's more fruitful, and it is more pleasing to him.
Good morning, everyone. The name of God that I'd like to talk about today is Yahweh Jireh, translated God will provide or the one who sees. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. And this is the gist of the story. God tests Abraham by asking him to take his son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice. Isaac notices that there's no lamb to sacrifice and asks his father where it is. And Abraham answers, "Son, God will see to it that there's a lamb for the burnt offering." Abraham binds Isaac to the altar, and at the last moment, an angel stops him, saying, "Don't lay a hand on the boy. Now I know how fearlessly you fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar for me." And Abraham lifts up his eyes, and lo and behold, there is a ram caught in a bush, and he offers that instead. And Abraham named that place God Jireh, or God Jireh. God sees to it. And that's where we get the saying, on the mountain of God, he will provide. So what does God see to? What does he provide and for whom? In this instance, he provided a way through the testing for Abraham to receive back Isaac from what seemed certain death. Abraham also received the offering of the ram so he could offer the sacrifice that God had asked him to make. So what does God want to provide for us? Well, himself, first of all, because without him, we are dead in our fallen nature. He provided Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins to redeem us and give us new life. Not only is God concerned with our spiritual well-being, he cares about our physical selves as well. He provides the breath in our bodies, the food we eat. In short, God provides everything for us. He knows us and what we need. And Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." But what if we don't receive the answer we were hoping for? Does this mean God isn't providing? As most of you might know, Wayne is almost totally blind now, and we've prayed for his eyes to be healed, but so far God hasn't chosen to answer that prayer in the way we would have hoped. And yet, in the midst of this loss, God has provided for us. Paul recounts praying three times for an affliction to be removed from him, and God telling him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes what God provides is completely above and beyond what you ask for. A number of years ago, one of the elders asked me how we were doing, and I shared that we were hoping that our son Joel would be able to come up and help us lay some patio stones to widen our front walkway because Wayne was having trouble navigating the narrow pathway that was there. And this elder and many others from our church came together to do so much more than the need I had told that elder about. They hauled away a huge, and I mean huge, trailer full of river rocks, got rid of many flower beds, edged the ones that we kept, brought in dirt and sod. So, what about the patio stones? Well, we gave those away because they poured concrete walkways instead. We were overwhelmed with the generosity of time and effort that were lavished on us, and we will be forever grateful for what we were given. You might be struggling right now and feel that God isn't seeing you or providing for you. He not only sees you, he tells us that I have loved you with an everlasting love. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Are you seeking? Are you needing? Ask and knock. And above all, know that even if the answer is different than what you expect or hope for, God still cares and will provide. Sometimes the answer to a need will come directly from God, but at other times, it will come through others. We often prefer to do everything on our own, but perhaps the Lord is asking us to tell others of our need and not rob those others of the opportunity and joy they will receive in helping us. I would also like to encourage each of us to look for opportunities to bless those around us. It might be a smile, a meal, a ride, a hug. Just be open to be there for those around you. Above all, let's remember that we have a good Father and that He will indeed see to it and provide for us.
Good morning. So this Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Lord is also Jehovah Shammah, the God who is everywhere, our very present help in times of need. I know that many of you have done so well. You have everything you need. Finances, relationships, jobs, everything is going on well. And if there's any single thing that you attribute that to, it's your hard work. I respect that. It's good to work hard. But I also know that some of us seated here, you do not know even where your next meal is going to come from. Perhaps you even walked from home to church, not because you wanted to exercise a little, not because you loved the snow, but because you couldn't afford to come here with other means. Friends, I understand that. You may have reached the bottom of everything that you could ever hope for. You know, Billy Graham's wife was one day asked in a marriage seminar, "Have you ever thought of divorcing your husband?" And her answer was, "Divorce, no. But murder, yes." Now, that is the bottom I'm talking about. But do not murder. Please, murder, no. In review of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was held as a captive by Babylonian forces. He was held on his 30th birthday when he was supposed to be installed as a king. While he wondered what was happening to him, God gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw the presence of God move away from Israel to Babylon. And God told him why that was happening was because the people of Israel had turned their back on God. And God told him that he was going to destroy Jerusalem. Fast forward, Jerusalem was indeed destroyed. But the story did not end there. God gave Ezekiel another vision. He took Ezekiel to a valley full of dry bones and told him, "Said, son of man, prophesy over these bones that they may come alive again." He prophesied over the bones and they came alive. And God told him, "Just like these bones have come alive, so will I restore my people." Fast forward, Jerusalem was rebuilt. And Jerusalem was renamed. The Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. If you read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, verse 35, that was when restoration came back to the city of Jerusalem. I was born in a family which was very humble, with my dad being the sole breadwinner. But at a tender age, I lost him. That meant food was not a given. Accommodation was a luxury. And going to school was simply no. As a matter of fact, I came home for some months because I couldn't afford the tuition. But one day, somebody walked to me and told me, here is money, go sit your university entry examinations. It's not a debt. And if you need more, let me know. I went and sat for my examinations. Now, I know that some of you, you know, with my accent and my look, think I am a typical Canadian. I have news for you. I'm not a typical Canadian. I'm an immigrant, okay? I am an immigrant. I come from Uganda. Now, in Uganda at that time, the government would pick top 100 academic students and pay for their fees in the university. The rest, God for us all, go find your way. Now, I am not an A student. No, I'm not at all. But my wife always tells me that, you know, sometimes when God is there and is seeing you, he can cause the examiner to sleep while examining your transcript and give you somebody else's mark when actually you don't deserve it. I think that happened to me. To cut a long story short, friends, I went to the university tuition free. The government paid for it. Now, in all these stories that I've said, you know, you may find yourself in one way or the other. Maybe you're in prison. Maybe you are, your people are being, you know, the presence of God is moving away from your people. Maybe you do not have tuition. Maybe you do not have food. Maybe you do not have accommodation. Or maybe you're restored like Jerusalem was restored. Friends, in all these things, there is one thing that remains and is ever true. That God is always there. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He is the first and the last. He's our Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. So no matter what situation you are in, I'm here to tell you one thing, that our God is Jehovah Shammah. God bless you.
Good morning. So the name I chose was Elroy. So in Hebrew, El means the strong one, more powerful than any god. And Roy means the one who watches over, like a shepherd. Elroy simply means the God who sees. And this term for God is used once in scripture during the story of Hagar in Genesis 16. Prior to this story, we know that God promised Abraham he'd be made a great nation. And years following, we see a conversation between Abraham and God where he begins to question the promise that he was given. Due to Sarai's disbelief that she could become pregnant, she gave her servant Hagar to Abraham in order to bear a child. Hagar gave birth to a son, which resulted in Sarai dealing harshly with her. Hagar fled to a spring of water in the wilderness where the angel of the Lord found her. And after a conversation together, Hagar called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. "You are a God of seeing," she said. "Truly I have seen him who looks after me." David represents this name of God in Psalm 139, saying, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways." In my life, God has continued to show me his faithfulness through the promise that he will never leave me or forsake me. When I was in Thailand, my wallet and my passport were stolen within a city of over 8 million people. I remember standing within the chaos of life in motion, and all that came to my mind was God sees me, and he knows my situation, and he has a perfect plan. Following that scenario, God brought me on an adventure being stuck in the city with one other teammate while the rest of the group flew to Cambodia. God provided a place for me to sleep free of expense, and he provided my passport and a flight home, knowing that I couldn't have gone one more day without running out of money. And he wanted me to trust fully in his plan, walking in obedience day to day, seeking his will and the opportunities around me to serve others. Through this situation, I learned that El Roy is always present. He chases after us in a fiery pursuit. He craves intimacy with each one of us. He sees us in our day-to-day life. He sees you sitting right there, and he sees me standing right here. And he's proud of you, and he's proud of me. He loves calling you a daughter or a son of the King. He is El Roy, the God who sees.
Good morning, everyone. The name I have chosen to speak about this morning is Foundation. From where I was raised, you could watch a storm coming from miles away. One summer day when I was a young girl, I watched as the sky turned from blue to black and clouds form and churn around and around above me in the sky. Within minutes, we knew that this was not a regular afternoon storm, which we would watch slowly move across the horizon towards us, but a tornado, and our farm was in its path. Our family huddled in a corner of the basement and listened as a deafening wind roared around us and the house shook and rocked. At one point, we snuck upstairs, and from the kitchen window, the outside world was a blur of debris and leaves and dirt and shingles and branches. Nothing was recognizable. It was terrifying, yet I knew back in the safety of the basement, there was no better place to be. After surveying the storm's damage to our farm, I had never been so thankful for the solid foundation of our house and that it had held our home secure in those moments. In our lives as believers, God has determined what will make for a firm foundation, the truth on which to build our lives and live out God's will. Isaiah 28:16 states, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." From this verse, we read that there is a stone, only one. It is tried, tested, and proven sure for all people of all time. And it is solid, unshakable, and without flaw. That foundation is Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven to sit at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Decades later, on September 1st, 2017, the largest storm of my life hit without warning. We were joyfully awaiting the arrival of our second child and were told at 20 weeks that our unborn baby girl had serious, complex, and life-threatening development issues. My mind and heart were filled with the deepest grief, shock, emotional pain, fear, and anxiety. My house was being severely beaten with the strongest of waves and rain and wind. 2 weeks before her delivery date, we sat in a team meeting with 13 doctors and nurses and specialists, and it was daunting, to say the least, to discuss with these professionals the moment-by-moment birth plan for our daughter and make decisions around her goals of care after her delivery. Nearing the end of the meeting, the neurologist gave his prognosis for her, and it was very grim, giving a long list of lifelong complications and unknowns, that the length of her life may be minutes or hours or years, but even if she were to live, he was not sure what quality of life that she would have or not have. This was one of the most devastating statements I will ever hear as a parent. While he was speaking, I sat staring at him, but my eyes moved past him to the back of the room. There, in a row of chairs, sat Jesus. He was listening to everything that the doctor was saying, and he was smiling and nodding along with every statement. When the doctor finished speaking, Jesus looked at me and said, "But I am God." The neurologist asked if we had any questions, and I just looked at him with complete calm filling my body, and I said no. Jesus' declaration in that stormy room brought me back to the only sure foundation, the rock on which I have built my life, and the word of God, which through the storm brings so much peace and hope. Even though for many months following her birth, the storm raged on and nothing was recognizable, that my house shook so severely and at times my heart was completely broken, God was and is my foundation. His truths and his love were again spoken into my life, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guarded my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, from Philippians 4:7. On May 7th, 2018, I wrote to a dear friend, "The last 8 months have been the most difficult of my life. I feel like since September, the storm meant to shake me off my foundation has come. This journey has impacted every aspect of my life, and I feel as though nothing in my entire life has not been touched by this storm. The immensity of it is so grand, but so is the foundation. Thank God." In 1787, John Rippon penned the lines to this hymn: "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." I pray that no matter what storm you're watching approach on the horizon, or that has engulfed you unexpectedly, that Jesus' words, "I am God," resonate deeply in your hearts and minds as you stand on the sure foundation and trust in him.
Seems to me, after listening to our friends speak, that although they're giving us different names of God, they've actually painted one portrait of God for us, one who is above, in control, as the Lord of life, who sees, who provides, who's present with us, and is also underneath as an anchor and as a foundation for our life. And our prayer for you is not that just you learn some technical things about how God calls himself and how he reveals himself, but that you experience him as a provider, as one who is present, as one who sees, as one who is our foundation. And so can I pray for us to that end? Would you please stand? Father, we really don't know what's ahead of us, whether like yesterday afternoon there is a massive storm blowing in, or whether it's smooth and sunny skies that await us this week. But we do know that we are not God, and that on our own we can drift, we can be blown apart, we can fall apart, and I ask that we would know you not just as some people imagine God, a person who sits very far away and is detached away from the harshness and realities of life, but that through Jesus we might know you as one who cares, who is deeply concerned, who actually walks through the storm with us and can be trusted to see us through, even when it seems that everyone and everything around us is falling apart. Thank you for the way that you've provided and grounded and befriended those we've heard from this morning. We pray that it would not only be their experience, but our experience as your people. We thank you, and now we ask that you receive our praise as we worship together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.